Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Let's bring on Brian now. Brian, welcome to Weekend Mornings, to Facebook Live, to the regular old radio, to streaming. Happy to have you with us today on Money FM.
Welcome. Great to be here. Thanks for making time.
You see, straight away, he's a tech guy.
See, he knows.
He's got the headphones. He's got the whole Burger King headset thing going. He knows what's what. This is good stuff.
Who is that in the doorway behind you? Oh, my gosh. Who is that person? Anyway, Brian, thanks for being with us today. And let's talk about Into Dashboard. And obviously, sure. People are familiar with all of the many other online collaboration mm-hmm. platforms. How is Into Dashboard different?
Yeah, what we do is we drive assessment of collaboration. So a lot of tools, Microsoft Teams, fastest growing application history of Microsoft, Zoom, Slack, people using them, those are tools to collaborate. But what's missing is, how do you assess collaboration? How well did the team work together? How well did the team solve the problem? How do people interact on the team? And so it's the assessment of that collaboration that we bring in to a lot of higher education as well as K-12 and also training environments as well.
So what does that look like? What can you tell people?
For a layman like me, how does it work?
Sure.
Into Dashboard?
Yeah. So basically what it is it's individual assessments, team problem solving, and how did your teammates work together? So at the end of this show, we might have maybe a quiz on, you know, everything you know about the King of Thailand. And then you say, okay, great. Now that we know a lot about the King of Thailand, let's make an applied problem. What would be the best place for the King of Thailand to have his resort villa? Should it be Germany? Should it be Greece? Should it be France? Okay. Well, Glenn thinks it's Morocco, but somebody thinks Germany. Why is that? So get deeper into those decision makings, because that's absolutely the right type of decision making that people need to make in the real world. So use those basic facts, use it to solve problems, break people into teams, come up, and what do you think? And you might have different views. The defense minister may say, hey, you need to go to a stable place where we can protect it. But you may have a culture minister that may say have a different view. So it's all those sort of different angles that have in very applied problem solving. And then at the end, you say, okay, great. How do we work as a team? What did Glenn do well? What did Neil do well? What did Brian do well? And how do we improve? Very similar to the workforce model.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And Glenn was telling me off air that this is the sort of technology that could be applied to the medical industries and things like that. Would that be fair?
The first people to do it are the medical schools, because every time you go to a clinical setting, it's not just one person. There's a doctor, there's a specialist, there's a nurse, x-ray, radiologist, pharmacist. And if they don't work together at the point of care, things go wrong. So there were some of the first institutions that said, hey, we really need people to work as a team very well. I teach in aviation. I teach air management. I'm a pilot as well. And so absolutely in aviation, you need that teamwork, because one piece of the chain fails, catastrophic things result.
We're talking with Brian O'Dwyer, the founder of Into Dashboard, which is now a team-based learning platform and evaluation tool. And I'm curious, when you do evaluate an online session, like you were just giving us a couple of good examples, how do the recommendations then come up? What does that look like, or how does the algorithm work to even give you recommendations in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, so the first thing that you want to do is you want to not spend your time transmitting content or information. You want to, you know, people can do that on their own. They can read the book, watch the video on their own. When you bring people together, what you want to understand is what they know and what they don't know. And you don't, so it's very much a diagnostic tool in a way. So you don't spend all your time on the stuff people already know. You know, you spend your time on the things that they don't know. They spend on the trouble spots, the challenging areas. That's really the value in sort of a situation like this, is that you don't waste your time on the stuff people already know. But there's a lot of education, a lot of training probably too, where a lot gets wasted and half the people are sitting there, God, we know this already, we know this already, we know this already. They zone out and you've really wasted a huge opportunity. So it's really about making very efficient use of that learning time. And you go to Zoom or online, things like this, Facebook Live, what we're doing now, and there's a fatigue that wears on after time. So you have to use that time very efficiently. You just can't waste it. So you really go to the high value things when you have all the learners and experts together.
So I'm just curious, I'm trying to visualize it. So how does this algorithm pull this knowledge together? If I know this and Glenn knows that and Brian knows this and we need to move past that and get to the root of the problem, how does it do that? How does it do that?
Oh, it's very simple. I mean, so what we do is we do a simple quiz. Okay, 10 questions. Did you understand the basics of the King of Thailand? Okay, great. You do that by yourself. Then we repeat it as a group. So the three of us are going to go back through it. What does Glenn think about the King of Thailand? What does your last guest think about the King of Thailand? And we all work together. Then we find out collectively that individually we might only get 70% right, but together we get about 90% of the facts down.
Got it.
And then we have 10 different teams doing this, so it makes it eminently scalable. You got medical schools in the U.S., they have 240 students, 40 teams, all working at the same time in groups of five. And then we come back together. So the class, actually, there's only two or three things that we didn't understand, because Glenn might know something that Neil doesn't, Brian might know something that the two of you don't. And then that, but me having explained it to you, I'm actually almost personalized your learning. Got because it. You're getting an individual explanation. So, so you, that's a very, yeah.
Sorry to follow up. So if you used to have thousands of infectious diseases students, for example, in one site, and you're doing something on COVID-19, you would set a question, a Q&A, something like that. And then the algorithm would work to say, okay, they know this, but they don't know that. They know how it spreads, but they don't know about vaccines. So we need to focus more on vaccines. That's how it would work in essence.
Yeah, and I'd say a finer point is that you would sort of say, okay, great, here's the five questions about COVID-19, and what we or maybe 10 questions about COVID-19. Individually, they got it half wrong, but we'll put it in groups of five. And what you'll find is that Neil will be explaining it to Glenn and Brian, and there'll be gaps in my knowledge the two of you will be able to explain, and that will happen in small groups of three, four, or five. By the time you get to having the expert or the professor have to explain it, there's only one thing they need to explain, because all the individuals took care of it first, the teams took care of it first, and the professor is sort of monitoring on the data dashboard to see, okay, great, only the things that we need to worry about are just this one thing, because everything else the teams have sort of clarified amongst each other.
We're on with Brian O'Dwyer, the founder of Into Dashboard, a team-based learning and evaluation platform. Brian, does Into Dashboard sort of sit on top of whatever your learning platform is, Zoom or another one?
Yeah, most folks do at integration. So, you know, again, we look with a lot of higher education institutions, Ohio State, UCLA, Columbia, Duke, Yale, NUS. And so they typically have their own learning management system. We just integrate in with that. And our specialty is team-based learning, because we feel that a lot of learning technologies was designed for individuals, not teams. Sort of like email was designed for individuals, not teams. And so you have the rise of Slack, Microsoft Teams, that are products for teams to collaborate, not individuals. And that's what's sort of been missing from education technology.
Fascinating. Yeah.
When you go forward and you look at this, you know, when I look on your website, it gives a lot of, you know, percentages like faculty satisfaction rate and student satisfaction rate. The people seem to be pretty happy, at least from the data you're showing. This is another element of this, right, is a pretty robust data analysis back end on this, is it not? And how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. There's enormous amounts of data. If you took a 15 semester class, you'll generate 100,000 data points. And so I think understanding the interactions of how individuals perform, teams perform, environments and where teams perform better than individuals, and how to optimize that team performance, I think is absolutely critical, fascinating, and valuable area. And where education is going next, or even where the workforce is going next, is how do you optimize the performance of a team? Because all the individual tasks will just be an AI chatbot will take the individual job. That won't exist. The hard problem that needs a media expert, a business expert, a political expert to solve, that problem doesn't go away. And so to understand those dynamics of how teams operate and how teams optimize their performance, enormous data that we're building around that. And that is incredibly powerful in the future, because the simple jobs, AI is going to take those jobs. Digitization will take those jobs. The complex ones will be the ones of people.
So fascinating. And Brian, if I understand it correctly, you founded Into Dashboard in Singapore. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So how did you roll it out in Singapore and internationally, and how's it going?
Sure. Well, we started out inside of Duke National University Medical School. So we were sort of incubated with inside the medical school that was using this approach. It was a pioneer in this area. And what we did is we just, you know, the phone, the email, rung up, you know, professors using this approach and said, hey, here's what our thing is. What do you think? And you just hustle and you get on the phone with 100 of them. You do a 30, 20 minute demo. And at the end, you ask the magic question, hey, we're thinking about charging X dollars per student. What do you think? And why would you not want to try this? And then you adjust the X until a lot of them say, yes, we'd like to try it. That makes sense. Or they say, no, I don't like this, this, and this. And then you modify the program pitch. Very classic sort of entrepreneurial, go out, hustle, talk to people, talk to professors, get feedback, improve the product, and go from there.
And how did it come up about for you? Because you said earlier, you're a pilot, right? And you work in aviation. So it's I'm fascinated. Is it a career switch? I don't know. How did that come about?
Yeah, absolutely. I started my career in management consulting, AT Kearney, investment bank, Credit Suisse. I was CFO of an airline, and we grew from 400 to 800 employees in 18 months, and then somebody bought the airline 7 years ago. I mean, number one rule of finance in airlines, if somebody offers you money for an airline, you sort of you take it and you switch your career. You do that at 2013, that's just good advice. And so I basically was wrestling with a problem that maybe some senior managers wrestle with, is our biggest challenge is how do you find the right talent for your team? And when you're growing fast, that's a challenge. And the other challenge I had is I knew a lot of university students, talented, smart folks, couldn't find the right job. And that was a gap that I felt deserved solving. So I, at 7 years ago, said, I now want to switch my career to education. How can I make a difference? I had a chance meeting, had an opportunity to start teaching airline management. And that's where it sort of dawned on me. I don't need employees to sit and listen to me for 2 hours. I need them actually to solve problems. And then I chance got connected with Duke's Medical School here because I was president of the Alumni Association. We all show basketball games on their campus. And I learned about how they're teaching medicine. It's like, my God, this is the solution to the problem that I observed going from airline CFO to teaching airline management. It's all about working in teams. And there's massive economies of scale because you test a lot, assess a lot, you get the data that you can optimize performance. A lot to unpack there. And as you move forward, it's going to be the human interactions, the collaboration stuff, stuff that we're doing now that is going to drive the future workforce, the future economy. It's not sitting by yourself watching a video. Like I say, AI or a digital tool, that will get coded away. It's this interaction with people, different views, perspectives. Lots of the stuff that you do on the show, that's what will drive value in the future in the workforce. It may not be applied to the king of Thailand, but it'd be lots of business problems and everything else.
Yeah. Let's hope we're driving value right now, Brian. We don't want it to be in the future. Hello.
Yes, apply that thing to here, please.
Right. But seriously, you're doing it.
Thanks, right. No, seriously, when you look to the future of Into Dashboard, what's the next iteration? Where does it go from where it is now?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at startup businesses and different people have different views, we look at it as probably 3 or 4 different stages. Stage one, you got to have a product that works, which we do. Stage two, you got to have a product that people will pay for. So you've sort of validated the need. And then stage three is, can it be a sustainable business? And over the past 6 months, we now have a profitable and cash flow positive business. So you said, okay, validated the product, validated the need, validated the business. Our next question is, how big of an impact can we have? You got to stay ahead. And that's exactly it. How do you make a bigger impact on what you're doing? And it's really about how do we have a bigger impact and drive greater scale? As you know, scale drives value.
Extraordinary stuff. And Brian, as you're here, and we don't often speak to a pilot, and you've spoke so eloquently and passionately about this. Well, I'm just curious, where do you see the aviation industry right now? It's a slight tangent, I know, because it's in such a precarious position. And as someone who was a CFO of an aviation company yourself, how do you view aviation at the moment?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, most of the times I've come on Channel News Asia, it's usually been about aircraft incidents. So I've been on Channel News Asia about 20 times. So I was delighted to talk about something positive, about education, about solving problems, not about problems that exist. But I realize that news, there's a lot of problems and challenges in the world. Look, it's a very difficult cycle. If you look at a historical time series, again, this is probably lesson one of history of airlines, is if you look at GDP or GDP growth and airline traffic over a 50-year time series, they are very highly correlated. Actually, one of the first cases in my class, we go through this. And so generally what you see is that economic growth and airline volumes are tied together. So when you see now economic growth going down, airline volumes going almost straight to zero. So that I think the first prerequisite is you probably have to have economic growth return again. The second long-term trend that you have is generally rising incomes have over time been shown to substantially increase travel. So as people go from low income to middle income, say in China, first thing to do is they get on the plane. Hey, we want to go to Thailand. We want to go to Singapore. We want to visit. We want to go to Europe, things like that. And so you have those two effects that are sort of underlying demand drivers. Now, in the shocks, I think there's huge questions about in the business world. Do people need to, my area now, higher education, does a university still, does the idea of going from Singapore to university in UK or the US, that may not seem so prized anymore. Now, the real question here, is this a delay versus a destruction? So a delay is, okay, great, I'm not going to go to the UK or US for university this year, but I'll go next year or 2 years from now when the whole thing settles down. Or is it just destruction? Hey, I'm just going to take the degree online and never go in person anymore. So those, I think, are the big underlying questions. How much of demand has been fundamentally destroyed or just delayed or pushed out? I mean, I don't know what your families are like, but I'd say as soon as the air travel opens again, we'd love to go on a holiday to Thailand.
Sure.
And so I think there will be, that's the delay versus destruction is the key question.
Wow. Brian O'Dwyer, founder of Into Dashboard, where can people find you if they want to get more information about your collaborative tool?
Sure. Yeah, you can reach out to us at intidashboard.com or feel free to reach out to me directly, brian@intidashboard.com. Happy to chat more about team-based learning, online learning, or even the future of aviation as well.
Brian, thank you so much for your time today on Weekend Mornings. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Elman. Cheers.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.